know what we think. What do you think? Call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Bottle it up. Bottle it up. Doodle-a-doo. 303. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. How we doing on this Tuesday morning, the day of the Subway Series? Cole Peterson tonight. No Diaz. No Marte. No Stanton. Who will emerge victorious? Which fan base will have the right to brag? Will we stick it to Ted in accounting, or will Ted in accounting have it over us? I judge my life on how where I currently stand with Ted in accounting. It's very important. Got to have it over on Ted. 888-808-1019. Let's take a call real quick because he's here. Sal in Queens. What's up, Sal?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, good, Sal. How are you?
Good, good. I'm heading to the Subway Series game tonight. Couldn't
nice.
Be more excited.
Yeah.
I wish I could get an upgrade in my seat. They got any hookups.
I wish. Don't we all, brother?
I'm flabbergasted about Diaz. I've been going back and forth with my Mets fan friends. My dad's a diehard Mets fan. I'm a diehard Yankee fan.
Oh.
We go back and forth. He's got season tickets. I got season tickets for the Yankees. We go way back.
Wow.
And they really should have let Diaz wash his hands, you know. He's an everyday guy. He just came off an injury. He was doing good. He had his ups and downs. I mean, the Yankees, you know, they're having their ups and downs, but I feel like it's going to be a great series. The Yankees, I wish Judge wasn't the whole team, and I wish that the team could,
Judge
pick it up a little bit more than just Judge.
Yeah, that's I think that's an unfair characteristic of the team so far. It might be the team at the moment because Soto's struggling, but they still managed to win a bunch of games in April while Judge was doing nothing.
Right.
I mean,
they really need to. These reporters need to really stop exaggerating about asking Judge, how's he going to be between now and September, where he's going to be in September. It's only June. It's not even the All-Star break yet.
Look where
we're at right now.
Yeah, I hear you, Sal. Thank you for the call. That's just part of the game, man. They're going to ask him how he's, compared to the 2 years ago, which amazingly enough, he's right on target with, in some ways better. He's got about 17 more RBIs than he did at this point last year, which is 2 years ago, which is crazy. It's just crazy. But your point about Diaz, I have no problem. I have no problem doing everything you can to avoid giving these guys 10 game suspensions and putting a team like the Mets in a sticky situation of having one man down in the bullpen. It is stupid. If you're going to make the penalty this punitive, you've got to be more open to it. Now, they're claiming it was a foreign substance that they felt a bunch of hands before and it's never felt like this, or it feels different than rosin. They're familiar with that feel, and this was a level of sticky they were uncomfortable with, blah, 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 blah. I get it, fine. All right, that's how we're arbitrating this. That's how we're dealing out this punishment by an umpire just going, it's a little stickier than I thought. But I'm agree. We've seen other guys be able to wash their hands. In my mind, you can't count on that. And you can't go out there with globs of whatever on your hand and assume, hey, worst case scenario, they'll tell me I can go wash my hands. Like, you just can't. And I know I heard a ridiculous narrative from the afternoon show about Nito now being a Cub and giving, kind of blowing the whistle on Diaz that he has all this stuff all over his hands or that he uses extra sticky stuff or whatever and alerting the umpires to it. The umpires check everybody all the time. It's not like, they check everybody. I really don't. It's not like they were going to leave Diaz alone and then Tomas Nito, I would say Tomos instead of Tomas. Then Tomas Nito told them and suddenly they were all over Diaz. Like, that was funny, but it's ridiculous. And then the other thing that I didn't really touch on last night when we were talking about it, and I understand people's reaction to it, about the manager. And I've been very complimentary of Mendoza. I think he's done a really good job. I think he's made a couple of key moves and a couple of key changes that have sparked the team. I think he's held the team together through just, you know, a time period of, you know, free fall for a while there, and it's completely rallied them to the point where right now they're in the mix of things. And I would tell you, I would think one of the favorites to come out of the National League the way they're playing. Well, come out of the National League wild card, should I say. But he did not defend Edwin Diaz with the same gusto that Edwin Diaz defended himself. And, you know, Edwin Diaz didn't just come out and go, hey, you know, I didn't do it. This is the same. He was a little bit angry. Now, on the field, it wasn't that bad. Because I remember feeling this way about Buck Showalter. Now, in my mind, Buck Showalter had a reputation at that point with the Mets a little bit because of all the hit batsmen or whatever. When Scherzer got caught with the sticky stuff, and I believe he was, correct me if I'm wrong, please, you'll remember better than me. He was allowed to wash his hands and then came back and was still told it was too sticky, right? Wasn't that the Scherzer situation? For some reason, I remember him able to close.
I believe so, yeah.
I think they told him to go get fixed, and then he came back and it was still too sticky, and they threw him from the game. Now, Scherzer was furious on the field, was really pissed, was looking all over the place, yelling, like was really not happy. And if you're a player, much like, you know, Boone came out when Soto got thrown out when he should have waited for the umpire to call time and didn't. And Boone came out there. Now, what is Boone going to do? He knows what happened. He knows he didn't get time. It was clear as day. That's on Soto. And I think Mendoza felt like this is on Diaz. And while he didn't go out there and fight, Diaz kind of didn't. If you're watching on the field, Diaz kind of puts his arms up. He looks kind of timid out there. He's not angry, certainly. He's not yelling. Then they throw him out, and he kind of puts his hands up. He asks for his glove back, and he walks away. If Diaz would have made a big scene about it on the field the way Scherzer did a couple years ago when he got banged for this, you have to go out there and defend your player while he's angry yelling at umpires. But for someone who broke the rules, someone who got banged, there's nothing he could do to change it. I thought we were reading a little bit too much into not defending your player. I understand Diaz is, I don't want to say fragile, but I understand that Diaz is going through a bit of a confidence thing right now, right? Coming back from the injury, he struggled. He got the closer role taken out from him. He went back. And that's why there's speculation that because of the struggles of earlier in the year, that's why all of a sudden he's got a lot more tack on his hand, because he's looking to, you know, he's looking for a little bit of extra grip. He's looking for a little bit of extra spin rate. And he's trying to make sure the performances he gave right before the injury are no longer the case. So coming back from the injury, he's using a little bit extra, and that's why he got caught with it or whatever. But he didn't throw a fit on the field. He didn't seem that upset. The rule was broken. There's nothing you can do. You can't change it. Running out there and screaming about it isn't going to change it. You could have done that, and some managers would have. But I think Mendoza, as of right now, I don't know if he has a reputation of either being overly protective of his players or not protecting his players. Like right now, Boone, for whatever you want to say about him, definitely without question protects his guys. He got thrown out of that game Saturday night that I was there for Marcus Stroman on a couple of high strikes that were called balls. Stroman was upset. Boone comes running out, gets thrown out of the game. Like, that's Boone's reputation. He is going to defend his guys. He is going to get thrown out of games a lot. Now, Mendoza doesn't have that reputation, nor does he have a reputation of a guy who is unwilling to do that or hasn't done that. And I think Buck got that reputation in part the way he handled the sticky situation with Scherzer. Scherzer's hopping mad, screaming at everybody, and Buck's just standing there with his arms folded, looking around. But I think it's a little bit premature to just go after Mendoza and say, hey, you got to defend your guys. Hey, you got to go out there and be mad. Hey. Like, I don't think there's anything to do. He's more focused on making sure he wins a baseball game that he had won, you know, that he had a lead with, and he's trying to figure out who he's going to bring in as opposed to going out there and yelling. So I get it. I understand the thought. because that is a manager's role a lot of times, is to go out there and make sure you defend your guys. But I think if Diaz got in the face of an umpire, he would have. But he didn't. And he didn't. So I don't know if it was necessarily warranted. And then you could tell in the post game, like, I think he's annoyed. I have to admit, I think he's annoyed. And it's not the first time we've seen it. I was just reading the Joe Torre book. I listened to the Andy Martino book, The Yankee Way, about Brian Cashman. And then, for whatever reason, I'm in the Yankee book mode. So I was listening to the Joe Torre book, and he publicly criticized players. He publicly criticized David Wells. There was an issue between the two of them. I mean, and not that he publicly criticized Diaz. He backed him up, but he just didn't give you that extra. And he talked about it in the post game. He broke the rules. What are you going to do? He knows the rules. He broke them. Now, having said that, the rules are dumb. I heard a call. I heard a caller mention something. He's 100% right. There shouldn't be levels. If rosin and sweat are legal, then how do you limit how much rosin and sweat? It's completely arbitrary to the umpire. It seems silly. And is it that much more sticky, or is it just more? Like, can you get more sticky just by adding it, or is it the same level of sticky just all over the place? Like, I don't know. I have no idea, but it's just for the punitive thing, for the penalty you get, it just seems ridiculous that you can't just say, hey, go wipe this off or come back, figure something out because your hand's way too sticky to pitch. He hadn't thrown a pitch yet. He hadn't already committed the crime, or, you know, for lack of a better term. He hadn't done the deed just yet. So why can't you tell him to go wipe off his hand as opposed to putting the Mets in a position to be a pitcher short for 10 days in the middle of a big stretch for them leading into the trade deadline where they're going to determine what kind of team they're going to be? Whether they're going to be sellers or buyers or stand patters. Probably a stand patter would be my guess. But, like, this is, it's just, it's nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. But, again, you have to be on top of it. You can't allow it to happen. You can't put yourself in a precarious situation where the umpire can throw you out of the game and cost your team 10 days a man short. You can't do it. Especially in this stretch, especially as a relief pitcher. Starting pitcher, you could argue, not that big a deal. Starting pitcher gets 10 games at the start or two. Not that big a deal. It's not the same as a relief pitcher who now the bullpen is a man short for 10 games. That's a problem. And we'll see how they handle it. And we'll see who they throw out there. We'll see who closes games for them. I mean, I'm wondering, we saw Drew Smith come out. I don't know if Drew Smith would be the closer for this team. But it doesn't, Ottavino, which would have been at the start of the year, I don't think he is now. He's outside looking in the circle of trust. But if they get into a situation, I'm sure they probably won't have a closer. It'll kind of be by committee. It'll be by matchup. But you would think this offense is going to want to get going. Now, we'll see against Cole and against Heel. I told you at the start of the show, as much as, you know, sometimes these things can be overblown and it is June and, you know, no matter what happens to either team, it's not a death knell on the season. I just happen to think right now, with the Yankees floundering, the way they've played, losing three consecutive series here, if the Mets welcome Cole and Heel, Cole, the savior, the Cy Young, the best pitcher in the American League, best pitcher in baseball, coming back from injury, second start, if he gets pounded, it's a feeling of, geez, he was supposed to come back here and be our guy. And then if Luis Heel, now it's back-to-back starts of getting pounded. Now the questions really do start to really, you know, ratchet up about, has he hit a limit? Is he fatigued? Has the league figured him out? Like, those things, one start it happened. And I think it quelled down a little bit after people realized it's unfair. The kid's allowed to have one bad start. He's been brilliant. But you put it back to back. Now, all of a sudden, now we're concerned. And this Met offense that's been on fire the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, has an opportunity to really make things uncomfortable for the Yankees. Really ratchet up the noise around them. Question a bunch of, ask a bunch of different questions. If they beat the bullpen, now the bullpen is in disarray waiting for Efros or whomever else. Efros threw an inning in rehab recently. I think it was his second appearance. So hopefully he's relatively close, but they need more than just him. If they ever get to Clay Holmes, that would be, honestly, the best case scenario for the Mets. If you're looking to really hurt the New York Yankees. I would think the best case, if you want to put a real kibosh on this Yankee season, if you want to make the Yankee fan furious, because I don't think beating Cole up 13-0, I think people would just assume, hey, it's the second start, sucks, it's really bad, but I'm sure he'll be fine as long as he's healthy. But if that's a close game, right? Say it's a well pitched game. Neither team scores a lot of runs. Cole pitches well. And then the Mets are down a run. Clay Holmes comes out, and the Mets beat Clay Holmes in game one, beat the bullpen, beat Clay Holmes specifically, and then pound Luis Gil in game two. That will pretty much and shut the offense down, obviously, both days. That'll pretty much send us as a fan base over the edge. That would be the best case scenario for the New York Mets. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. We'll come back, continue to take your phone calls, having some fun this morning, talking about the Subway Series. And next, I've teased it a couple times, but we'll get to the Roger Clemens. It's my first time having an opportunity to do so. I think when I took over, I don't think I had a Subway Series. I think both, the Mets were kind of dead. And the Yankees were dying. I don't remember. I think the Subway Series were both before when I took over last year. So this is the first time hosting full-time doing a Mets-Yankee Subway Series, so let's get to it. I've talked about it. I've mentioned it on Carton and Roberts all those years ago. But I'll tell you what my opinion is of probably the most infamous Subway Series moment of all time.
Chargers and the New York Giants have exchanged their draft picks.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Eli Manning and Philip Rivers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 3:25, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Another hour and a half until 5 a.m. in the warm-up show, and then I'll stop talking. And I'll go home and try and get some sleep. God knows I needed. Yesterday was just one of those tough days where I woke up at like, I don't know, 1:45 or so after, falling asleep at 10:20. That's it. Couldn't go back to sleep. So I'm on like 3 or 4 hours of sleep. And that's probably why I have the opinion I'm about to give you, right? That's what most of you are going to think, but it's true. Let me go back into time. The year is 2000. It's the 2000 Subway World Series, Yankees versus Mets, game two. After the New York Yankees take game one in dramatic fashion, Mike Piazza, Roger Clemens, in honor of the Subway Series, which will be later today, let's get into the biggest moment in Subway Series history. Now, let me tell you something. Yes, I'm a Yankee fan, but I was never really the biggest Roger Clemens fan. One, because I hated him prior to becoming a Yankee. He hit all our players. I hated Roger Clemens. Did not like him at all. Then he's traded for David Wells, who, believe it or not, as a young child or young, 14, 13-year-old kid, whatever I was in 1998, I guess. Quick math. Yeah. 14 years old. I love David Wells. I was a big David Wells guy. So to see David Wells shipped out for Roger Clemens wasn't really my guy. Now, he's a Yankee, so clearly enough of my guy. And then later became my guy. Big playoff performances, 2000 ALCS, 99 World Series, 2000 World Series. But in honor of this Subway Series, let's get to the biggest moment, because no one's spoken the truth. Everyone's afraid to say it. Because it's absolutely true. I believe every single word that Roger Clemens said about it. Now, I know he's a hard guy to believe. I understand that subsequently he has not always been forthright about what happened when it comes to certain performance-enhancing drugs. I'm willing to accept that. I might even be willing to accept that that evening he might have dabbled in such a cocktail. But if you watch that moment, Mike Piazza, Roger Clemens, if you watch it fairly, if you really look at it, it's exactly what Roger Clemens says. Now, I know people scoff when he says he thought it was the ball, but if you watch Roger Clemens, the bat breaks, it comes right at him in that moment. He goes to field it. And this is the misconception people have. People think when Roger Clemens said he thought it was the ball, that he means he thought it was the ball when he threw it. No. He thought it was the ball for a split second coming at him. He thought he had Mike Piazza out. Here comes a soft ground ball back to the pitcher for that split second. Then he realizes it's the bat, which is broken in half, and throws it off the field towards the Yankee dugout, because that's what you do with trash, which is now what the bat is. He does not know Mike Piazza is running up the base path. He is not trying to throw the bat at Mike Piazza. He just isn't. That's exactly what happened. He thought it was the bat for a half a second. Once he realized it's the bat, well, he thought it was the ball, excuse me, for a half a second. Once he picked it up and realized, I have half a bat in my hand, what should I do with it? Let me get rid of it and throw it towards our dugout. That's what happened. It's really not hard to come to terms with it. Now, was he a hopped up maniac? Yeah. Probably. But he was not intentionally throwing the bat at anybody. He just wasn't. And I don't know why. It's because of his history, because of the obvious manner of him at that moment. Which clearly, I mean, if you, I think I've read the Joe Torre book where he's in tears after in the dugout, telling people he didn't mean to do that and was very upset. And people laugh. Like, I've had this conversation with Evan. When you say he thought it was the ball, people laugh at me. He didn't think it was the ball when he threw it. He thought it was the ball for a half a second and went to go field it. Then realized it was the bat, tossed it off the field, had no idea Mike Piazza was walking up the first baseline. And that's what also makes me laugh, because everyone, oh, he's so hopped up, he's crazy. But yet, he had the presence of mind to recognize where everybody was on the field. He was able to go field it, realize it's Mike Piazza, throw it at him. Now, I have no problem with Mike Piazza thinking that, and I agree with everybody. Mike Piazza should have absolutely went after him and have Roger Clemens thrown out of the game. Or somebody should have went after him. But I will go to my grave, my friends, telling you that Roger Clemens absolutely, 100%, never intentionally threw that bat at Roger, at Mike Piazza. I am 100% positive of it, as I'm sure Michael Fliegelman is. I know you feel the same way, Mike.
You probably believe that Roger Clemens never touched steroids or any performance-enhancing drugs either.
I do not. I don't necessarily believe that, no. I'm telling you, go back and watch it.
We've all seen it.
It's coming at him. He goes to field it. Once he grabs the bat, what would you do? He was in a tizzy. He thought he just got out Mike Piazza, who owns him. And instead, he's holding a shard of a bat, so he gets rid of garbage by throwing it towards the Yankee dugout. In frustration, in anger, crazy. But not at Mike Piazza. He had no intention of hitting Mike Piazza with a bat that day, my friends. None.
The only thing I'll say is maybe he didn't want to hit him. He wanted to throw that bat. He knew it was the bat, and he wanted to at least throw it near him.
I don't think so. I honestly don't.
Because not even Roger Clemens, who's been lying for over 20 years,
yes.
Even Joe Torre, who's been lying for over 20 years, they don't even believe what you're saying.
That's not true. I'm getting the story from Roger Clemens, and I'm telling you, I watch it. He goes to field it. He realizes it's the bat. He gets rid of it pissed off. I don't think he's trying to throw it at anybody. I honestly don't. I'm not lying. This is not a... I've said this before. I think I'm on the record. I think I've done it with Evan on air during Carton and Robert. I 100% believe this. He doesn't... Watch it again. He doesn't throw it. It's not even really particularly... like. He gets it. He doesn't even look. It's all in one motion. He gets it, realizes it's the bat, and just chucks it. He doesn't realize anyone's running up the first baseline. Positive. It's been overblown for years. Now, the aftermath of it, 100%. Then he goes and sticks it right up the Mets, you know what, for the rest of the game. And I'm not saying that Roger Clemens has never told a lie since. I'm saying in that moment, I've watched it a bunch. I watched it a million times when it happened. I argue with everybody then. I know I'm in the minority. I know Yankee fans don't believe what I believe. But honestly, I don't even think it's that controversial or that. Like, I think it's pretty obvious. You watch it, he goes to field it, throws it away. Tom in Long Beach. What's up, Tom?
Hey, listen. Thank God somebody finally said the truth.
Yes.
I watched that 50 times. No, what happened was when he went to field what he thought was the ball and he realized that it was a piece of the bat, he didn't even look up at
no.
Piazza. He was like, he was pissed because he felt stupid. He just flung it.
I don't know if he felt stupid. I think.
Right there. Everybody's dumb. No one knows.
Yeah. There was so much going on with the storyline between him and Mike Piazza. That was the moment everybody's built up for it. He's crazed. Don't get me wrong.
Absolutely.
Roger Clemens is on another level.
He was embarrassed it wasn't the ball.
I don't think
he didn't even look. He flung it.
Yes,
he just flung it.
100%. I can't speak to his mind.
I looked at it 100 times.
Yeah. I don't know if he's embarrassed.
No. He just felt dumb.
I don't think he felt dumb.
He was embarrassed.
I don't think so.
He was embarrassed.
Okay.
Because he thought it was the ball and it wasn't. But he didn't even look up when he threw it. He just flung it.
I completely agree with you. Other than I don't think he was embarrassed. I think he thought he had the out. I think after all the pressure, all of that
built up,
a piece of cake. He jammed him, yep. Broke his bat, got a ground ball back to the pitcher. Yep. He thought he just got Mike Piazza out and that he was, you know, through that moment. I think he's a maniac. Well, I think he's an absolute maniac and was building up to that moment for, you know, a week. He was sitting in his basement eating red meat, drinking coffee, waiting for that at bat with Mike Piazza. And in that split moment, he thought for a half a second he had the out, the at bat was over. He won the battle, jammed him, got an easy ball back to him. When he realized it was the bat, as soon as it hits his hands and he picks it up, he chucks it. He does not look up. He doesn't try to aim. He does it almost all in one moment. He is not trying to hit anybody. Now, it came too close. Again, we talk about this with Aaron Judge. You can't pitch inside. I can't. If I'm Mike Piazza, of course that's what I think. And you can't. You got to be careful. You got to be aware. Mike Piazza, Roger Clemens was completely unaware. He was a maniac. You can't. Of course. That thing could have, with the other, the jagged edge part could have went right into his thigh or something. It was, you can't just throw, you got to be, he didn't have his mind about him. I totally agree. He's nutso. But he's not trying to, he's pissed off the bat is not a ball, and he chucks it. He doesn't even look up, just chucks it. I firmly believe this with every fiber of my being. I've been saying it for years. I've been arguing with people about this for years. He was so amped for that at bat against Mike Piazza. That was the whole game for him. There was so much, obviously, beating him earlier in the year. Piazza lost respect for him. Everybody's asking him about it. That whole game, if you remember, was that moment was the game. That was bigger than the game. He's an absolute maniac who's hyped up to the nth degree and lost it for a half a second, grabbed the bat, and absolutely just chucked it. That's it. It's garbage. Yeah, he's like throwing it to a ball boy or something. Just get it off my field. That's 100% what happened. He's not trying to intimidate anybody. He's not trying to throw it at anybody. He's pissed off, and he's throwing a broken piece of wood. Plain and simple. Anything else is just your own opinion of the matter placed on that moment. Liam in Blue Point. What's up, Liam?
Hey, how are we doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing all right. I just wanted to talk about your thoughts on Gerrit Cole and his start tomorrow. Thinking the Yankees will let him go, tonight technically. You think they'll let him go a little bit longer than last time if he has a good outing or what?
I don't think they're going to let him go 100, though. I still think I think they're going to ease him into this last, 62 pitches? Maybe he gets up to 80, 85. We'll see. It also depends on how easy. If he battles through and has runners on all game and is struggling and throwing big time pitches, then it's probably around 75 to 80 or so. And if he breezes through and has a lot of first pitch fly balls and never has any runners on, the Yankees score a bunch of runs. I mean, there is absolutely a difference in leverage of pitches and the intense nature of the inning and the pitch. So we'll see. If he's pushed, they probably don't push him far. If it's easy for him, they might let him go up to 90 or so. It completely depends on how he feels and what's going on. So we'll see. I still expect some rust. I am not uber confident that Gerrit Cole is going to go out there and just pitch a great game. I'm not. He's just coming back from injury. Anything could happen. I have no misconceptions about what he'll be, but hopefully they let him throw a little bit because you want to get him up to 80. You want to get him up to at least 80 so you can get him up to 100 or so in the next start or two, because that's, ultimately you want to get him going.
Yeah, I agree. I still think he's got a little rust to shake off, but I'm excited to see him pitch again,
Oh, absolutely. I'm thrilled that he's back. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, he was the only part of last year worth watching. I mean, he's been great as a New York Yankee, and I'm very much looking forward to him being back, but I don't know. It's not vintage Cole. It's not last year's Cole. I don't have any. Especially with the way this Met offense is going, I'm not overly confident. I'm quietly confident. I expect him to go out there and pitch fairly well. He's got his fastball. He's got his stuff. But it's just he hasn't pitched in so long to have like a the timing of bringing him back is a little puzzling. Other than Petit got hurt and he had no choice, but. You don't want to ramp him up. You don't want to go crazy, right? You bring him back for his first start. He threw 65 pitches in his final start of rehab. He comes in. You only keep him at the same pitch count. Why? Because, it's major leagues. It's different. It's pressure. It's this. It's that. Well, then, you thrusted him right into his first two games are against the team you're battling with, nip and tuck, in the division in Baltimore. And then now you're going to throw him against the Mets in the Subway Series. I mean, you've thrusted him right in to about as much of a pressure situation as you could in June. But I don't think Cole is affected by that as much, other than on the mound, he's going to want to get outs. and he'll, you know, he'll push himself to get, you know, to get through it. But I think he understands where he is. I think he understands the overall importance of him being healthy and getting through this and being ready to go for the rest of the season and not having to have another setback. Or like, the most important thing is that he pitches every fifth day between now and the postseason. That's the most important thing. Winning this game, as much as we all want to, is not the most important thing. The most important thing is that he makes every single start between now and the parade. That's the most important thing. But I'm looking forward to see it. But this Met lineup has been really good. And I'd have to go double check the numbers against JD Martinez. He's been so bad at Fenway Park. I'm assuming that JD's numbers are probably fairly good against him. I got to go double check that. But I mean, just the Mets offense right now has been as explosive as any offense in baseball over the last 2 weeks. You want to keep, you know, Lindor puts you right on it from the jump with leadoff. You got JD and Alonso for sluggers in the middle of the lineup. And guys like, you know, Nimmo have really been table setters. It's been a very, very good lineup that scored a ton of runs. And we'll see how it works. And plus, you know, I mean, now they've had the day off. They're probably a little bit more rested. You feel okay about the bullpen, but you still want to pitch deep. You got a long stretch here. You don't have the next day off. The Mets have a day off after the second game of the series. The Yankees go right into Toronto. So I would think you'd want to put them pretty deep. You don't want to start this stretch of these, you know, 7-8 games in a row by having Cole throw 4 innings. So I would think they would allow him to go a little bit deeper into the game. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. You heard me. Roger Clemens didn't throw that bat at anybody other than to get it off the field. Maybe a bat boy might have caught the wrath, but not Mike Piazza. It's been a lie perpetuated on the American people for far too long, and it's time I finally set the record straight.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
You see, this is exactly what I'm talking about. Because, again, I wanted to go back and watch the Clemens play again. And I went on YouTube. And here are the comments. Right here. These are the comments. First two comments on the YouTube video of the Roger Clemens, Mike Piazza incident. Jonathan says, I love how Clemens says, I thought it was the ball. As if you regularly throw the ball directly at the runner during the game. LOL. Then Ace, oh, is this Ace of Base? I love Ace of Base. I saw the sign. I thought it was the ball. Yeah. Because you're supposed to throw the ball at the base runner. Like, you idiots. He's not saying he thought it was the ball when he threw it. That's the misconception where people think it's a ridiculous response. I thought it was the ball. He obviously knew he wasn't throwing a ball. He thought it was the ball when he went to go field it. It jumped up and almost hit him in the face, which probably pissed him off too. And then he just chucked it. And then quickly realized, oh man, he was standing right there. But people honestly think when he says, I thought it was the ball, that they meant when he threw it. He clearly realized he was holding a bat. I would think. I can't speak to his state of mind. I'll go. But, I mean, I love that. I love that. Yeah, it's the ball. Yeah, like you would normally throw a ball. Obviously, at the moment of holding it in his hand, he didn't think it was a ball. When it first came off up at him, he thought it was a ball. That's the part of it that drives me nuts. That in particular is what drives me nuts about this whole thing. That people misconstrue that as in he thought it was the ball when he threw it off the field. Brian in Middletown. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Chris. How are you doing?
Good. How are you, bud?
Good, man. So here's my thing. So I don't think he necessarily was throwing at Piazza. Well, be honest, I really think he was. But
well, then just say
when have you ever seen a baseball player pick up trash and throw it towards dugout? Now, I'm going to admit I'm a Mets fan. Yeah. I'm a 20-game season.
Sure.
So I go there a lot. Mm-hmm. I saw Alonso last year have to take his one timeout because now they limit the amount of timeouts.
Right.
Because there was trash blowing between his legs.
Well, yeah. And they pick it up and put it in their pocket, depending on. Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is, yeah. When I say trash, I mean useless, no longer part of the game. But how many times does trash that is as heavy as a piece of wood that bounces up in your face land in your hands? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the scenario. He went to field it. It jumped up and almost hit him in the face where he had to catch it. It's in his hands. And, yeah, no, he's nuts and hyped up. There's no doubt about it. He didn't go to just hand it to the umpire. I totally agree. He didn't just, like, hold it for someone to take. He grabbed it and launched it. He was out of his mind, but he wasn't intentionally throwing at Piazza. Like, you're right. But, like, who normally picks up trash? I don't know. What is he supposed to do with it? Because if a player gets a piece of garbage on the floor, they usually put it in their pocket so it doesn't blow away. Is he going to put a half a bat in his pocket?
No. But even a pitcher with, like, a scuffed ball doesn't throw it the bullpen. They throw it back to the catcher and let them
I've seen them throw it off to the side, to the dugout.
Dugout.
He was going. He was throwing right to the dugout. I mean, how many times have you seen someone throw intentionally at someone walking up the first baseline?
Never.
Right. So we both saw things we never saw, but you're supposed to know which one it was. I'm telling you, he was just upset and crazy and threw it off the field.
I'm not saying I know better than you. I'm just saying it's not that simple that, he was just throwing trash.
Well, obviously he didn't. My point when I say trash, I mean useless. It's garbage. It's a broken bat. So once he realized it wasn't the ball to make an out or it was something that almost jumped up and hit him in the face, he just flung it off the field. Out of being completely crazy. Don't get me wrong. Out of it, like, crazy hyped up and built up for that moment, too. Like, that's the thing. Mike Piazza, in that moment, that's the game. Like, he's had that in his mind, that at-bat, he's been building to that at-bat this entire time. He went to go field the ball, or what he thought was the ball. It jumped up and almost hit him in the face. And then out of anger, he just tossed it. And then he realized, oh, Mike Piazza's standing right there. And when has Clemens ever backed away from anybody? If he threw it at him and Mike Piazza came at him, he'd say, what? So what? He was throwing it off the field. And the thing that really bothers me is when people, like I said, when he said, I thought it was the ball, people believe he meant when he threw it. I think he established what it was by that time. He went to go get it. It jumped up. Now, why he told Mike Piazza he thought it was the ball, I don't know, because he just had that in his head. Thought it was the ball. But I'm telling you, he did not intentionally throw Mike Piazza. It's an overblown thing. It's a great moment. Roger Clemens is out of his mind. Don't get me wrong. Out of his mind. But watch it again. He's tossing a bat off the field. 100%. 100%. But those are old. That's an old Subway Series. We have a brand new Subway Series starting tonight. Cole Peterson. Big start for Gerrit Cole. Let's be honest. This is a big start for Gerrit Cole. We haven't really talked about that aspect of it because we're so concerned of just getting him back into the swing of the season and, you know, staying healthy, and ultimately that is what's most important. But this team is floundering. This team has now lost three consecutive series. This team is now on the precipice of losing possibly a fourth if they lose both of these games to the Mets. And it being the New York Mets, and I know George isn't around to flip out about it. I know George isn't around to put the amount of weight in it where if you pitch poorly like Ted Lilly, he'll trade you. But there is still a dynamic here of Mets Yankees. As maybe as, you know, waned as it's been, and maybe it's not as it's at its full strength as it has been in prior years. But you can't lose three games in a row and then get beat by the Mets. And they need a good performance because this bullpen, although the day off helped it rest and, you know, Stroman gave him some innings on Saturday and then even Nestor gave them more innings on Sunday. So the bullpen is relatively rested, but they're about to play a long stretch. The bullpen hasn't pitched well at all. They have, you know, maybe two or three guys, right? Tonkin, Weaver, and Holmes that you even remotely trust. And just ultimately, right now, as they're trying to, you know, battle without Stanton right now, as thankfully they got lucky to see the Baltimore Orioles go into a funk and lose three straight to the Houston Astros, who, again, are just terrible that we can't count the first four games of the season against the Astros. Can't count. It's not worth discussing. The Yankees, those weren't big wins. Those weren't meaningful wins. They were nothing because the Astros aren't any good. So I'm still not figuring out how they swept the Orioles. I don't understand it. Something's not computing because they're such a terrible team that I, as a Yankee fan, I can't even look back at it and consider them positive wins, and yet they're beating up on the Orioles. It makes no sense. And then even to make it more puzzling, and this one really I struggle with because I've been told by everybody, including the very bright, very real good baseball man, Sean Marash, who told me I can't count the Cleveland Guardians as a victory. That they're a pushover, they're not really good, and I shouldn't even look to any team in the AL Central as any sort of real competitor to judge myself against. And I can't look back at the fact that the Yankees took 2 of 3 in Cleveland as any sort of real meaningful play at all. In fact, I'm not even sure it happened, and yet I can't be positive because ESPN could be wrong. But it seems like they beat Baltimore last night. And I don't know how to, it doesn't make, something's not right. Because I'm under the impression that it's not even a real league. I thought after the Orioles, they take on the Ducks, right? They take on the Long Island Ducks after the Orioles because the Central isn't even a real league. And yet they figured out a way to beat Baltimore. I don't know. Something must have happened. I hope everyone on the Orioles is all right because I don't want to root for injuries. I mean, I want them to lose, but I want them to be okay. I just want to make sure everybody's okay, that maybe a stomach bug ran through the entire team or something. The whole team's got the flu. That the entire store. Is that with the flu? So hopefully everything's all right with the Orioles because they've lost three in a row to the Astros, who are terrible. And again, the Yankees winning 6 of 7 against the Orioles, I mean against the Astros, meaningless. Just absolutely meaningless. And yet they, and somehow the Orioles lost three times. And then Cleveland, who cares they have the best record in baseball? Who cares? Who cares they're scoring runs at a clip only the Yankees and the Orioles can rival? Meaningless. But something must have happened last night. I can't figure it out. Marco, you're up on this stuff. You keep attention on what's going on in the league. You got to know these scores you give them and stuff. Is it true that Cleveland beat Baltimore last night?
It is true. It is true.
That seems weird, though. Because
3-2.
3-2.
Yeah. Jose Ramirez. 2-run homer in the 6th.
Jose Ramirez. Is he a good player?
He is. He is a good player, yes.
I heard they also have this guy, Kwan. I've heard he's relatively capable at swinging a bat.
Yes.
Okay.
Left-handed.
I just want to make sure.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because I've been told left and right that they're garbage and mm-hmm. the victories mm-hmm. that the Yankees had against them should not count almost. And it's, you know, so I'm just puzzled by the whole thing, really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just trying to make sure I got mm-hmm. everything under control here.
I think you've got the picture.
Okay.
Yes. No, I think
right.
you do.
It's my job to know what's going on. I just want to make sure I got everything. Nothing happened to Baltimore or anything like that?
There are unconfirmed reports about the whole team having the flu.
Okay.
It's unconfirmed, though.
And I heard even Burns started one of the games against the Astros. So, I mean...
That is true.
I don't know how that happened either.
That is true.
I'm trying to make sure that he's okay.
And they have dropped 4 in a row.
4?
Yes.
Overall. Well, no, listen. Yes. Well, I mean... As long as they're playing real teams, it's reasonable. You could lose 4 in a row. It happens. I mean, they were playing the Dodgers, I'm sure, right?
They were not.
No?
They were not. No.
They weren't playing the Dodgers?
No, they were not.
The Braves?
No. Well, it wasn't the Braves. The Yankees were playing the Braves.
No, well, no, that doesn't make any sense then.
No.
Who else is any good that we can measure ourselves against? Anybody? I'm trying to think. The Central's don't exist. The Rangers? Oh, no, they're under fire. But they're world champs. Does that matter?
No. No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
No. That's last year.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do the past.
So, yeah. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, Baltimore didn't lose four in a row because they didn't play teams that actually exist.
Well,
I mean, that's I'm just going what I'm told. I can do nothing else but just deal with what the realities are. And Sean Marash told me the realities. So,
well,
I mean, I can't. How could I go against it? How can I go against it?
I mean, when you've got that kind of source.
Yeah.
That's.
Well, I mean, that's where I get my information
that's,
from.
I mean, you're at the tippy top now.
That's it. How was the game that you went to? Not so great, huh? First time in how many years did you, last time you went to
Maybe
game?
Like seven. I don't remember exactly when it was.
I was going to say, yeah, it was at the new ballpark. Right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No. Okay. I've been to a new ballpark a lot. Just haven't gone in the last, you know, whatever it is, 6-7 years, mm-hmm. whatever, work and kids and
sure.
Any other excuse you want to throw in there.
Right. Which game did you go to?
17-5. I haven't seen a drubbing like that. I got to tell you.
Yeah.
In some time.
Did you see all 17?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, stayed the whole game.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, look at you.
Come on now.
I'm impressed.
Only about 137 degrees. Luckily, the shade rolled in around the fourth, which was about 2.5 hours in because the Orioles just kept scoring.
Right.
It was something. Yeah. It was something.
That's
yes.
Funny.
Yes.
Yeah. That was some game to go to.
Oh, yeah.
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 So I'm the other way. I'm the good luck charm right now. I went to the last, they've won two games in the last, what, 6 or 7? I've been at both of them. That's it. I'm on fire.
I took a kick to the teeth, and you got to tell me about your good luck charm. I mean,
we had great seats Saturday against the Braves. Stroman threw a good game. We saw a Judge home run. I saw Stanton not be able to, you know, jog around third base.
Wow.
I mean, unbelievable. I was there, and I was down the third base line. When I tell you, the man, and I was there for the, as you were, I'm sure, I got there early with the kids because we had nothing to do and I was determined on not paying $40 for parking. So I found street parking and we got there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
49, by the way, because yeah, I paid it.
Yeah, you, exactly. 49. I forget that. I'll be there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon if I have to, believe you me. So we saw batting practice and everything, and I can assure you, I watched Stanton the whole time. He does not run, but he did warm up. He did stretch. He was out there, you know, pretending like he had muscles that could be, you know, sprained, and he was trying his best to stretch them, but he runs nowhere. He jogs everywhere.
Honestly, and I mean this. This is not me trying to be funny. I mean this. He moves. He does like the fat guy shuffle when somebody holds the door open for you, but it's just a little too far.
Right.
So you do that pretend shuffle, like fat guy, just kind of move a little bit. You're not really running. You don't really want to get to the door faster. But you want to give the impression that I feel bad. You've been holding this door for too long. So you give that half a waddle, half a shuffle.
Yes.
You know, you wiggle your ass, basically.
That's pretty much what he does.
That's Stanton.
Yeah. And he has a little bit of the arm twist.
Yeah. At any point.
And listen, I don't blame him. His body just betrays him. It's amazing. It's terrible. I can't explain it, but I've never seen. He's a professional athlete who can't jog.
I know the
overall nature of 162, although they only play like 80 or whatever. But the everyday,
I get all that.
It's harder than people would.
And the stop and start nature of baseball, I understand that. I do. I truly do. Mm-hmm. I also think there is something to the fact of if you don't ever move. You're gonna get hurt.
Yeah.
Like you can't use the stop and start where you say you go 100 miles an hour. If you're at speed 2
mm-hmm.
at all times, at some point you're gonna move just a little bit more and your body's gonna betray you. There's no way.
No, I know. But like that's why, like, if you remember last year when he got hurt, there was an issue where he thought he had a sure double. And then I don't know if the throw was made better. I forget exactly the circumstance. And he went from 0 to real quick to try and make sure he didn't get thrown out. And that's when he hurt himself. This was just a straight up Glaber hit one down the line, bro.
But that's,
I mean, he could have bear crawled home.
That's the point. That's what I'm saying. Like, I understand if you go 0 to 100, you feel something pull. That can happen with anybody. Well, and he's talking about athletes in their 30s. I get it. You know, we always think, well, when I played, you played, you were 13. Like, there's a difference. I get that. But you're telling me you never move and you think that it's going to stop you from getting hurt. That's like saying if I stay on the couch and never get up, yeah, I'll never get hurt. But, yeah, you will.
Yeah, but
you will.
But he does, like, it's not like he never moves. He runs, he warms up. Like, it's not like he's
he's underwater. He's never at any kind of pace.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not asking you to bust it, but I'm asking you to actually run, not shuffle.
Right.
Run.
I got you.
Don't look like you just messed your pants.
Yeah.
Run.
Well, that might be a failing of the team because I don't think they ask him to run. I think they tell him not to.
I'm not asking you to bust. There's a difference. I get you. There's a difference.
I get you. I'm just saying. Like, I thought that they were going about it the right way in how to protect him from getting hurt. I thought, I mean, that if that ball was thrown home, he's not changing his gait. He's not changing his speed. He'll get thrown out. He'll be safe. Whatever the case, he's not changing. I thought that's the only way to go about it, and yet still.
Yes, and I agree with that aspect of it. I don't want you to increase your speed dramatically while you're running, but I want you to run at a pace that's, say, 70% of what you're able to do, not 5% of what you're able to do. There's a major difference between the two, though.
I get you, but I think, unfortunately, 70%, 5%, 75%, 13%, he's going to get hurt. That's just, unfortunately, that's where it is. His body betrays him. But you know what? It's good timing. Get him back for September, that stretch run.
You know, honestly, I mean, I almost feel like, you know, Alfred and like Batman, like, what the hell's the point of lifting all those weights?
Yeah,
like, what are you doing?
I know.
You don't have anything, like, you can't, yoga, nothing helps you? Nothing? You haven't figured out anything that helps you that relaxes your muscles just a little bit?
No,
nothing?
I know. It's funny, too, because we'll get calls, he should do Pilates. Yeah, I think they're trying their best. It just doesn't work. We got to get to the update. 408.
This is
right.
Your best?
That's what it is. His hamstrings are of an elderly man or something. Like it doesn't matter what he does. I'm sure he's doing Pilates crazy. I'm sure he stretches, you know, all day long. There's nothing that's going to prevent it.
Mm.
It's just uncanny.